Let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, the news of the empty tomb sometimes is challenging to believe. Grant us the faith to believe the resurrection, so we experience the redeeming power of the blood poured out on the cross by Christ Jesus. So we experience that redeeming power in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tired. Very, very tired. Worn out. Exhausted. Weeping tears so hard and so heavenly that there's no more tears to weep. Jesus is dead. His limp body is hanging on the cross, and we're waiting for permission to take him down. Devastation has seeped into the deepest recess of your soul. The past several hours, you've been standing on the hillside, simply staring in agony as Jesus suffers. And then he dies. Now waiting for the word to reach you. Joseph of Arimathea has received permission from Pilate to take Jesus' body. Nicodemus follows behind him carrying a huge armful of spices and ointments along with the burial cloth. And with tenderness and a gentle touch, they receive Jesus' body from the soldiers at the foot of the cross. Off they go down the hill. You follow at a distance, legs weak and wobbly from exhaustion of standing for hours, yet you force yourself forward. You have to see where they will lay his body, ever aware of the time. The day of preparation is coming to a close. The Passover Sabbath will begin soon, and you need to be back where you're staying before the Sabbath begins. Now, having come to Jerusalem, following Jesus with such great fanfare of palm branches and hosannas, how could this be? Just a couple days later, now following Joseph and Nicodemus, carrying his limp body to a tomb. No hosannas, no palm branches, no joyous throngs praising God, just silence. Silence surrounds the footsteps, only occasionally broken by sniffles and sobs. You see where they lay his body. You make note in your heart the place in the garden where Joseph and Nicodemus enter the newly hewn tomb of Joseph's to lay Jesus' body. And sitting down, just waiting for the burial preparations to be fulfilled according to custom. Joseph and Nicodemus exit the tomb. The stone is rolled down the groove, and it stops with a solid thud. Jesus is buried. Jesus is dead. Hopes, dreams, joy, all gone. Slowly you rise to return to Jerusalem for the Passover Sabbath. Nothing more can be done now. Have to wait for the first day of the week to come back. He's gone. The Passover Sabbath passes in great sadness. The sun of the next day will be rising soon, which is the first day of the week. It's almost here, so waking early to gather the spices, you and a couple women head out to the garden tomb. No one's their usual talkative selves this morning. Just a few words are spoken. Who will roll away the stone? You have spices for Jesus' body. Yes, Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb. And yes, Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. And yes, the old widow was given her son back alive. But it was Jesus who had done these things. He was there when he did them. Now he's dead. He's in the tomb. since Friday. Who will roll the stone away? That just stays in your thoughts. Entering the garden, approaching the place where Jesus was laid in the tomb, your eyes suddenly become, they could become wide with astonishment. You shout, "Look, the stone is rolled away." Racing ahead and looking in, fear just fills you. The body's gone. Emotions rack your whole being. Where's Jesus' body? And you turn and you run to find Peter and tell him what has happened. Peter comes running, but John outraces him. They come to the tomb. John stops, but Peter then comes and enters in, passing right by John. John enters him. They see the linen cloth lying there. They see the burial cloth laying separate, all by itself, folded neatly. Something has happened. Something has happened here. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, his grave clothes were all on him, and he had to be unwrapped and untied and let free. Here, Jesus' grave clothes are in the tomb. John records in his gospel his reaction of this moment. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 8. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. John saw what happened, and it came to him. Faith. Jesus rose. That faith filled John. John saw and he believed. You may ask, John believed what? The context, the setting. That was enough for him. The way the grave clothes were left behind, the careful folding of the burial cloth set aside by itself. There was no hasty stealing of the body away. John saw, he believed. It is John's way of recording that never-to-be-forgotten moment of personal experience. Jesus is risen. John does not go looking for the body. John does not go searching out other tombs. The empty tomb is evidence enough for him. He saw and he believed. The next verse written by John, John chapter 20, verse 9. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. This verse is not an indication of doubt. This verse is an explanation of the moment. The disciples did not understand all the Scriptures recorded about Jesus rising from the dead. The way John wrote the verse was to express the divine necessity of Jesus rising from the dead. The divine necessity was written in the Scriptures. Jesus had to rise. That is what the Scriptures speak about Jesus, that divine necessity. Jesus had to rise. There was no doubt about what would take place on that third day. The Scriptures foretold Christ would rise just as they foretold Christ would suffer and die for our sins. Jesus died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. Jesus rose from the dead, just as the Scriptures said. There are over 300 specific prophecies of the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. From Genesis to Malachi, it is written where he would be born, the tribe he would be born in, his lineage of David's family, his sinless life, his dying, being pierced for our transgressions, and his resurrection were all written well before the actual events of Jesus' life occurring in history. Read Psalm 22 for yourself. Read Isaiah 53 for yourself. Recall the sign of Jonah. Listen to Job declaring, "My Redeemer lives." Remember the spotless lamb of the Passover from Exodus chapter 12. And hear right now from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty, we prepare a feast of rich food for all the people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all the faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Did you hear the defeat of death and the salvation? That's Isaiah 25. Now this morning, we are removed from that morning some 2,000 years. Will you listen to their testimony? Will you believe Jesus rose from the dead according to the Scripture? Luke records Peter's testimony in Acts chapter 10, where Peter says in Cornelius' house, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country and caused him to be seen. Paul testifies as he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This testimony, central to the Christian faith, is this: Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. He died and was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. This is the truth. This is fact. Christ rose from the dead. The reality of Jesus rising after dying on the cross shows that the death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, paid in full the price of redemption, thereby purchasing forgiveness of sin. With forgiveness of sin comes the gift of eternal life and the right to be called children of God. Jesus paid the price. There is no price for you to pay. Jesus fulfilled all that needed to be done. There is nothing left that you need to do. The reality is that there is nothing you can possibly ever do to earn forgiveness and eternal life. Rather, receive the free gift offered to you in Jesus Christ. Redemption of your soul. Receive the free gift by faith. Believe Jesus is the Son of God, the crucified and risen Lord. Confess and you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This gospel message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, has changed lives throughout the world for thousands upon thousand years. This gospel of Jesus Christ has changed my life and continues to make me new every day. The good news can change your life right here and right now. Don't wait another moment longer. Turn to Jesus, repent, and believe. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart Jesus rose from the dead. You will be saved. Jesus' resurrection is the sure proof Jesus was who he claimed to be. Jesus proved he was the anointed one of Israel, that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the Christ. The empty tomb that Jesus had to rise from is the sure proof that Jesus' death on the cross satisfied sin debt in full, so that you can know by calling on his name, you will be saved. New life will come into your heart. Hope will be there. Death has been defeated. Joy will be yours. And the greatest of loves will fill you. The very presence of God will come and live in you. You will have a living relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. You can know this for sure because the tomb is empty, and because the tomb is empty, the work done on the cross accomplished all. Redemption, forgiveness of sin, God's wrath turned aside, and the relationship restored. You can be in living relationship with the living God. The proof of that, the empty tomb, because of the work of cross, of Christ on the cross. And the greatest of love will come and live in you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus paid the price for all your sin. Doesn't matter how broken you may feel and how hurt you are. Jesus paid that price on the cross. And the way you know that's true is the tomb is empty. He had to rise. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the crucified, risen Lord. Repent and believe. Confess from your heart and speak with your lips, and you will have exactly what it says. You will be saved. And you will have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. You will have a relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And the very presence of God will come and dwell in you and fill you with such joy and hope and love. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we're rejoicing this day. Because the greatest news is we have the right to become children of God. And because we are children of God, one day when Jesus returns, and he's coming back, the tomb is empty, he ascended, he will return. And when he returns, he'll take us to be with him. And then we will be in the very presence of God forever. We will be with the one God who lives and reigns over all forever, because Jesus was crucified, Jesus rose, Jesus ascended, he's coming back. And we will be with God as his children in the very presence of the one God who lives and reigns forever. Amen and amen.